Let's go to chapter 24 of Luke. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about the newness of life. You know, Friday night, we had our service, you know, our Good Friday service, and we had communion, and we remembered the Lord's death. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 11, he says, as often as we do communion, he says, you remember the Lord's death. And so we remember his death, that the sacrifice that he made and what he went through. But the death alone would not bring forth newness of life. The death paid the price for the sin, but Jesus' resurrection is what brought us the life. Amen. And so the resurrection is the life that we have. We have resurrection life in us. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in these mortal bodies. Now think about that. Mortal means death, doom. In this body, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And he says, I am able to quicken or give life to that mortal body. Amen? And so not only does he bring life as far as my recreated spirit, but he can bring health and healing to my body, soundness to my mind. In my prayer time in the mornings, I always take moments to thank God for my family having a sound mind. We live in a society where it seems like maybe sound mind seems to be becoming more rare, but I thank God for a sound mind in Christ. And I personally believe with all my heart that a sound mind is a mind that is controlled by the newness of life that comes out of our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this morning we want to thank him for that. But Jesus' resurrection is the pivot point in our Christian walk. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the grave would hold us down. And we would have to live in our condemnation, our shame, and all that goes with that. But because of Christ, we can have a new life. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 1, it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living, amen, among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. You know, it's amazing that we just take for granted what we know now, which they did not know on that morning. There must have been a lot of confusion, a lot of being perplexed, you know. I mean, they didn't have the commentary of Romans. You know, they were just showed up and Jesus wasn't there and the stone was rolled. I heard one preacher say the stone was rolled away so Jesus could come out. No, the stone was rolled away so you could see in. Jesus doesn't need our help. Amen? The stone was rolled away so we could see in. This morning around Easter time, thousands of people stand to stare into a tomb to see nothing, because the one that was there is gone. Amen? And we come to see that it's empty. But what does that mean to us as born-again believers? People that have accepted Jesus Christ into our life. I'm a firm believer that only those who want to be Christians are. Nobody's made to be a Christian. Being a Christian is a choice. You have to decide whether you want to be one or you don't want. Jesus put it this way. Whosoever will, let them come and partake of the water of life. How? Freely. Amen? It's up to us to make a decision whether I want Jesus in my life or not. And I believe you come to that place when you realize the shortness of your own ability. The fact that you know and recognize, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I need a Savior every day. Some of you are probably pretty good, but I'm one of those that need my Savior every day. I need to be reminded of who I am in Him daily, that I am a new creation in Him. Because I'm in Him, I'm a new man. Not because I didn't do this or I didn't do that or I went here or I went. No, it's because in Christ, I am a new creation. The old thing has passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Amen. And that's how I want to live my life, in the newness of that life that is in Christ. Amen. And so I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 6, where we get some commentary on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to us and gave us a commentary on what transpired. These people who came to the tomb that morning didn't understand, know, or comprehend the fullness of what was taking place there. You know, they showed up, and the story was told that Jesus was stolen. The body of Jesus was stolen, right? Well, I got news for you, friend. Men don't die for stolen bodies. Jesus went from a relationship from the natural to a relationship that made the very men that fled from him, fled from representing him when he was arrested, to men willing to die for him. I don't know about you, but I don't die for a lie. I have to believe it's true if I'm going to die for it. These men believed that Jesus Christ was risen. Of the 12 disciples, other than Judas, or the 11, because Judas hung himself and committed suicide, of the 11, only one died of natural causes. The other 10 died as a martyr, telling the world that Jesus Christ is alive. I don't know about you, but when they pulled out the knife and started filleting me, I would probably denounce the lie. When they took Stephen up on top of a temple and threw him off to his death, he would have probably said, you know, just kidding. Because you don't die for a lie, for a hoax. These men gave their life for what they believed. They went from ordinary men to men that could do great things. And it wasn't because they were great men, they served a great God. Sometimes somebody will say to you, brother, you're a man of great faith. No, I'm a man with faith in a great God. My faith ain't in me. My faith is in the God I serve, and that His grace is sufficient for me. In Romans 6 and verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, as we were baptized with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? The newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Amen. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, died no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that he died to sin once. For who? For all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
The grace. I want to encourage you this morning to know this reality. Your life this morning is testifying of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or it's not. Our lives bring a reality to the resurrection of Jesus, or they don't. When I say I'm a child of God, and I say that I have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, that I am a child of God, my life will either demonstrate a resurrection or deny the resurrection. And so God has called us as believers in Him to live out the newness of life that He has called us to live. And He didn't call us to live out this new life from laws and rules and regulations, but from a relationship with God. Because we have a relationship with God. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not born again, you're not a child of God, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, many things that I say will seem, what that don't make sense. I don't understand that. Because you can't, somebody that's not born again cannot see spiritual things. We live in a natural world and we draw our understanding from our five physical senses. But when Jesus Christ comes into our heart and life, all of a sudden we get to see out into a new dimension. A dimension that God lives in, a dimension that the goodness of God is. We get to see good. We get to see the possibilities of people and individuals that have accepted Jesus Christ in their life, and we can walk in a newness of life that the world can't even understand. This morning, we're going to baptize some people. And what we're saying is, I died with Jesus. I was buried with Jesus, and now I am resurrected with Jesus. And how was Jesus resurrected? He was resurrected in the newness of life. And so we are resurrected in the newness of life. You got to come to a place in your walk in relationship with God that you're not concerned about what they think, or what they do, or what they believe. What becomes important to you is what God thinks, what God believes, what's important to God. And you get up that day, every day, with the grace of God working in your life to give you a reality of God that causes you to live a life in newness as your nature. Not out of rules, not out of regulations. It's not what you think about me. It's what God thinks about me. It's what God has put in me. Well, Pat, I don't understand that, Pat. I understand that there's people that don't understand. It don't make sense to the unregenerated. And don't misunderstand me. I've seen it over the years. I've had people come into the church. I think most of us reach a place where we're like, I'm kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'd like something new, so let's go to church. So we show up at church, and the guy preaches, and we think, huh, that was interesting, but I don't quite understand that. Why? Because a spiritually dead man cannot see spiritual truth. It don't make sense until you get born again, and then all of a sudden, the very thing that didn't make sense to you makes all kinds of sense to you. All of a sudden, you start understanding what it means to be a new creation in Christ. All of a sudden, you start understanding how wonderful giving is. You just start understanding why I go to church. I don't go to church to check a box, or when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a bunch of stars on a chart that how many services I met. No, I go because I love God and I love people, and I want to be a part of what God is doing, because Jesus is only building one thing. He said, I will build my church. I hear people all the time saying church isn't important. Well, it's the only thing Jesus is building. So I think that would make that important. So I just want you to understand this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reality that the world has a hard time grasping, because how can they understand spiritual things? But all of a sudden, when you get to a certain place, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and one day you hear about Jesus and you decide, I'm going to believe. I choose to believe. Right? We choose to believe things all the time. We choose to believe if a certain diet is good for us or not good for us. We choose to believe the doctor, whether this medication will help us or what will it do to us. We choose to believe things all the time. You can choose to believe that Jesus Christ is God and that he is the Son of God. And out of your belief, your choice to believe, all of a sudden you call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Amen? I heard this story years ago. It was on that my parents did a lot of ministering on Indian missions in Nevada. And so we would go to Indian missions, and my parents would preach there. And as a kid, I remember sitting there, and you'd hear these stories. But there was one very large young man, Indian guy, who was very large. And every time he'd get drinking, he'd come to church. And he'd come to church, and he'd get there, and next thing you know, he's tearing the church up. You know, he'd hear some, you know, the devil gets stirred up when you talk about Jesus. When I start talking about Jesus, if you get upset, it's because of the devil that's in you. I shouldn't say things like that. When I talk about giving and you get upset, it's because your lover is money. Listen, friend, nobody's going to talk about my love, my wife, and if I know it. See, we got to be careful that we don't set up idols in our life and we don't set up other things. We want the truth. We want the truth of God's word, right? Amen? We don't want part of it. We don't want portions of it. We want it all. Give me God's word. Amen? I want to know the truth. But this guy had come in and he'd tear the place up. Well, he come in one day and there's a lady up there preaching, and she made a statement. She said, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. Well, he kept coming to the front, and she goes, oh, here we go. He's going to tear things up again. And when he got there, he fell on his knees and started calling out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he got up and he walked back and sat down. And the lady said, well, you can come up here and be saved. And he said, I did exactly what you said. I called on the name of Jesus and he saved me. It wasn't the prayer he prayed. It was a decision he made. I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of destruction. I'm tired of failure. I'm ready for a new life in Christ. Amen? Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can have a new life in Christ. I was thinking about this. Somebody brought up something in conversation this morning, and I don't remember exactly how it is, but I love Mondays because Mondays are like new beginnings for me. Last week didn't go the way I wanted it to, but now it's Monday. And I get a new beginning. Well, I want you to know that this is Easter, or Resurrection Sunday. This is a new beginning. You want a new beginning? You can have a new beginning. You can have a new opportunity. Because that's what God is. He's the God of new opportunities. Amen. You just have to want it. You got to come to the place. I'm tired of letting me. I don't want to run my life. I want Jesus to run it. I've been running it and hadn't been running all that well. As that great prophet Tom used to put it, how's that working for you? You know, we live our lives our own way, and we keep, you know, I was talking to my son the other day, and he's making some decisions in his life, and his little wife's kind of, there's a little bit of a balk there. She's not quite as enthusiastic as he is. And he said, I said something. He goes, well, Dad, it's what you preach. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah. It says, if the blind lead the blind and they all keep ending up in the ditch, pretty soon they quit trying to follow you. If your husband keeps leading you to a ditch, one of these days you're going to balk. Saying, yeah, I think I'll wait a little here before I follow you off into that ditch again. When do you get tired of leading your life into a ditch? Are y'all good? Y'all okay? We want to live our lives in a place of newness. Amen? If any man be in Christ, I want you to go over there. We're going to read that, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe salvation is for everyone. But I don't believe everyone will be saved. Salvation is for everyone, but I don't believe everyone will be saved. You have to want it. Right? You have to come to a place in your life where it's, I want what Jesus has to offer. Amen? You know, you hear stupid things that the world does, and as Christians, we want to get upset or put out or whatever it is. But you know, when a blind man stumbles over something, you don't make fun of the blind man. Blind people make bad decisions. No, yes. Blind people make bad decisions. To ask a sinner to live like a Christian is wrong. But to expect Christians to live like Christians is normal. That's normal. Amen? So we want to live in the newness of life. Look at this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says this. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, which was Jesus, right? Then all died. Okay. And he died for all that those who live, he died for all that those who live should live no longer for who? But for him who died for them and rose again. Now I want you to, let's read the fine print here. He's saying, if you accept my salvation, then you need to follow me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you're going to accept it, then you need to follow me. See, I think that's the rub, isn't it? Not everybody who wants to accept him wants to follow him. Come on. But he said, if we're going to accept him, we're to follow him. Amen? I share my little story about going through Oregon, and when I, and yet some of you have heard it, but there's some new people here, Tom, just relax. I was driving through Oregon, and I'm a sightseer. Any of you other husband sightseers? Any of you drive and want to see? And then you hit the edge, and your wife's about ready to climb out? Dennis! You'll never know how many times I've heard that. Dennis! What? Stay on the road. Yeah, but did you see that? So I'm driving down the road, and everywhere I go in Oregon, there's sheep. Sheep everywhere, sheep all over the place. But in with the sheep, there's a llama. What's up with a llama in with the sheep? And they're fenced in and all that. And Jesus is speaking to me as I'm driving. See, because God talks to me with natural things. I'm going down the road. He says, the fence is the law. And the llama is when we put something besides Jesus as our source in our life. The reason there's a fence and a llama is there's no shepherd. If you have a shepherd, you don't need a llama. If you have a shepherd, you don't need a fence. Because the shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. And we do that in church. We make our rules and our regulations to try to keep people doing certain things, and we try to fence them in with rules and regulations instead of just telling them, just know the shepherd, because the shepherd will lead you to good places. He leads us to the still waters. He leads us to the green pastures. He protects us. He takes care of us. So Christianity isn't about rules and regulations. It's about a relationship with a shepherd. And his name is Jesus. Amen? And where he leads, we follow. That's what sheep do. Amen? And so, because we haven't many, there's people that haven't figured out that it's about the relationship with the shepherd. We start making rules and handbooks and bylaws and all these things to try to cover, to try to control things. Friend, listen. Just because you do something around me don't mean that you're doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. It's about Jesus. You understand? He's with me, right? You wake up in the morning, he's there. I don't know about you, but if you wake up in the morning and everything works good, you might want to shout a little. Some people don't work right. You know what I'm saying? You might want to be thankful that things work right and that you got up. It's a new morning. I heard a guy say this. He said, any morning you wake out and there ain't a chalk line around you, it's a good day. You have another opportunity. Amen? God gave you another opportunity. And so we as Christians, we accept Jesus, we serve him. So what is he talking about? He's talking about walking in the newness of the life. Amen? And it said, he who died for all, or those who live, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, don't worry about your past. Therefore, from now, when is now?
Now.
On. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. You don't know the mistakes I made. I don't know and I don't want to. From now on. Amen?
Amen?
He's the God of new beginnings. He's the God of new opportunities. He's a God of new chances in him. Amen? Thank him for that. I mean, I'm glad. I've needed to have more than one opportunity. How about you? It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. And you know what? Isn't that neat that he tells us to quit knowing each other according to our flesh? You know, I got sisters that love to remind me of my past. That's what sisters do. Now, they never tried to sell me. Now, Joseph's brother sold him, so I guess I'm doing pretty good. I got six sisters, but they never tried to sell me, okay? But you know what? They can remind you of your past, and there's always those people around that want to remind you of your past. But he says here, he says, don't regard any man according to his flesh. If any man be in Christ, amen. When I say man, mankind, okay? You're good, ladies. You're good. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. One of the hardest things to get across to people is the moment you are born again, in the heart and mind of God, anything you did up to that moment is gone. Now, think about that. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you have a kid, you're going to have responsibility. But I'm just saying, if there's sin in God's eyes and God's heart, you're a new creation. A new creation don't confess their sin, they confess Jesus. They confess Jesus. Confession of sin is for Christians. He says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? And he says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to do what? To forgive you. Anybody that tells me God didn't forgive me, you just call Jesus unfaithful and unjust. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Amen? If you're here today and you're feeling condemnation, that ain't Jesus. That's on you. Or you're listening to the wrong spirit. You're listening to the wrong thing. Because he forgave you. Amen? He forgave you. And I've needed his forgiveness more than once. I know that's shocking some of you. But I've needed it more than once. He says, therefore, from now, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Not condemnation. Friend, listen, this is something I know after 41 years of ministry. Only people who want to serve God do. So quit trying to make people do it. Only people that want to be. We're all volunteers. We volunteered. We cried out to Jesus. Amen? We saw our need for a Savior, and we cried out to Jesus. And forgive me for saying this, but you don't have to be a Christian. You can split hell wide open. You can go to hell. But I want you to know this. It's your choice. You chose it. I get so agitated when people say, why does God send people to hell? I said, God never sent anybody to hell. Any person that went to hell is because they stood in the face of God and said, I don't want your Savior. I don't want your Jesus. And the only thing left is to respect your decision. God will respect your decision. I didn't mean to make it a downer, but that's true. God respects your decision. But it's not the decision He wants. He loved you so much He sent His Son so you could have eternal life. He paid the price. He reconciled you back to Him. Accept the reconciliation. No, yes, anybody care? Hey, I'm glad it worked. I needed Jesus. I'm grateful to be a Christian. I am so glad to be a Christian. I don't want to be anything else. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve Jesus. I want to live for God. I want to be a good husband. I know that sounds stupid, but I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good friend. I want to be good to my grandkids. I want to run my race all the way to the end. I told my wife, when I die and you bury me, I want it on my tomb. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to the body of Christ. He was faithful to his wife, and he was faithful to his children. I want that on my tomb, and I can't have it if I'm not faithful. So I plan to be faithful with God's help and God's grace and God's strength. And I plan to run this race all the way to the end. Amen? Amen. So I just want to encourage you, come join me in the race. It ends up good. It's good. Amen? It says that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. Your sin is not a problem. Your sin's not the problem. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. It's as simple as that, right? He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading with us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become, what? The righteousness of God in him. And you know what that's for? It's for every one of us. I don't mean to be rude or obnoxious, and I can be that. But there's a place for you in heaven. But you have to choose that place. Whosoever will, let him come. It's as simple as it gets. It's as simple as it gets. What did he say? He said, I would that all be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's what he said. I want everyone saved. But you got to see your need for a Savior. Amen? For you that are going to be baptized this morning you're making a decision, a declaration. You're saying, I died with Jesus. I was buried with Jesus. And now I'm risen with Jesus. And you're also saying, from this day forward, my goal will be to walk in the newness of that life. Amen? Now, I guarantee you, and I don't mean to be negative, but you're going to need to call on the name of the Lord and ask for forgiveness. There's going to be times, there's going to be moments in your life. Don't wait for Sunday. When you miss the mark, right then, right there, confess your sin, and He'll be faithful and just to forgive you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It don't have to be here. It can just be anywhere. You just wherever you're at. Father, I sinned. I fell short. Forgive me. And He said, absolutely. Amen. He don't want you living with shame or guilt or anything. That's the devil. He wants you to be. He's the one that puts shame and guilt on you, not God. If you're here this morning and you never asked Jesus into your life, we'd love to give you that opportunity. And, you know, I'll be willing to pray with you. But I got good news for you. You're not going to get saved because I pray with you. You're not going to get born again because I pray with you. You're going to get born again because you made a decision and called on the name of the Lord. Amen. Praying a prayer don't save me. Accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior saves me. I think as preachers, we like to think, I prayed with 10 people and they all got saved. How do you know that? They might have been just winging it, playing it. With my little wife, I shared this the other day, and this will be my last story until the next one. But my little wife, she got saved when she was 17. She had graduated from high school early and had moved out to California to be with her parents. And she was raised Catholic. And in her ideal, she was saved. You know, if you're a Catholic and you go to church, you're saved. And so she was going to this Pentecostal church, and the young people had come up to her and asked her if she wanted to get saved. And Sandy had always said, I am. I'm a Catholic. I'm saved. You know, that's what she'd tell them. And all the people in her family smoked, so she smelled like cigarettes, so they just assumed she smoked. You know, and they wanted to get her saved. You know, because in the olden days, saved people didn't smoke. I'm sorry, but that's how it used to be. And so they'd come up to her and keep it. So finally she said in her mind, she just decided, that's it. Next time they come up, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go up there and make them all happy. Well, she came up there and she actually got saved. Got born again, 3 days later, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she got healed at the same moment. Isn't that money? God used to do some great things. He still does.
Amen.
He still does. But you know what? It'd be a terrible thing to think you're saved and not be. She was convinced. She said, you know, after it was over, she said, one of my irritations, and I don't say this to be rude, but one of my biggest irritations with the Catholic Church is they never introduced me to Jesus. They introduced me to the church. They introduced me to the catechisms, but they never introduced me to Jesus. Because that's what this salvation is all about. It's about Jesus. He's the resurrection and the life. Nothing else. What flavor you choose to be, as far as your beliefs, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever, your flavor, whatever. But your Savior is Jesus. Your Savior is Jesus. So if there's anybody here that'd like to be prayed with, I'd be glad to pray with you.